Brady and Belichick have been at the forefront of the credit in New England for the last 20 years.
OTB's American Football Show. The Snap on OTB Sports Radio.
Burrow very much thrown in the deep end. He seems to have the correct temperament. I've never been totally won over by his actual talent, to be honest.
Keep updated with American football on OTB. Tune into The Snap every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We've got Daniel Harris with us this morning. Daniel, how are you getting on?
I'm good, thanks. You're right.
Yeah, so Owen's conspiracy theory here is that Gary Neville is going out to bat for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And like most conspiracy theories, it has like a ring of truth about it.
I don't think that's particularly a conspiracy theory. I mean, Gary Neville, I guess, wants the best for United, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wants the best for United, and the owners want the best for the owners. So it's entirely understandable that they would be aligned on this issue. It wouldn't necessarily need to be a conspiracy of, well, there's something odd going on here. I mean, it's possible that Ole has asked Gary Neville to use his platform to put some pressure on, or that Gary Neville has decided to do it unilaterally. But a mate helping a mate do something for this common thing that they both love, I wouldn't necessarily say it's a conspiracy.
Why are they unable to convince the owners, or is it Woodward that they need to convince that the right thing to do is to invest in the team? Why is that, like, who lacks the ability or the imagination to win the argument that actually investing in the team is ultimately going to end up making more money for the Glazers?
I don't think it's as simple as that, because let's say United finished third last season without a particularly great deal of investment relative to the teams with which they were competing. So let's say that United decide that they're going to go and try and win the league. They could speculate 150 million quid. I mean, Chelsea have spent over 200 million quid, and we all know they're not going to get anywhere near winning the league, and they'll actually do well to get into the top four. Now, if you're as rich as Roman Abramovich and the reason that you bought the football club is to avoid getting bumped off or to do other nefarious things, which is the case with Abramovich, then your major issue is not putting money in your own pocket. But the Glazers are not huge players like Roman Abramovich. And the reason they own United is to put as much money as possible in their own pockets. That's the only reason. They're not interested in football. They're not interested in community. They're not interested in any of those things. They're interested in putting as much money as possible in their own pocket. Now,
sure, but a successful team is actually going to be more profitable than...
Yeah, I'm coming to that. But there's not... The amount of money you would have to speculate to have a chance of winning the league is not the amount of money that winning the league would return to you. If you can finish in the top four every season without spending as little money as possible, that is where the best balance is between money in and money out, if you're the Glazers, putting as little money in as possible, taking as much money out as possible. You could easily go and speculate 200 million quid, like Chelsea have done, and still not win the league. That is not financially prudent or sensible, never mind in this market, if all you want to do is make money, which is all the Glazers want to do. You speculate and you don't win the league. But even if you speculate and you do win the league, the uplift that you get from finishing first relative to finishing third is, again, not particularly reflected in the money that you make versus the money that you... I don't think invest is quite the right word because it's not the Glazers' money, but I guess the money that you spend.
I think though there's a counter-argument in that Liverpool have begun to... print money or push off loads of profit in the way that they have done their business over there. I guess it comes down to how well the club is actually run. So even in Chelsea's case, the supporters of Chelsea will point to the fact that they've managed to recoup a lot of money from their process of hoovering up all the best young talent in the world and then farming it out, selling some of that on and using that as the money that they're investing. Obviously, the initial capital comes from Abramovich. From Liverpool's perspective, they've been relatively parsimonious when it's come to investment and similar enough wage bill to Manchester United. So there's definitely a model somewhere that the Glazers have not sorted out or that Ed Woodward hasn't sorted out that would allow Manchester United to continue spending similar to what they're spending now and actually be successful.
I think that Liverpool have spent quite a lot of money. I mean, they've got the most expensive goalkeeper ever. They've got one of the most expensive centre-backs ever. They were the finishing touches.
All bought from the Coutinho money, though. Like, that was a straight swap, effectively.
What was?
Alisson and the centre-back are effectively a straight swap for Coutinho and 15 million.
Right, but if when United sold Ronaldo, for example, for I guess that's the most comparable deal, the Glazers pocketed almost all of that money, and United replaced Ronaldo with Michael Owen, Mami Biram Diouf, Antonio Valencia, and Gabriel Obertan. So that's a good example of the difference between owners that are, I mean, Liverpool's owners also want to make money, but they're also interested in running a successful sports team. And I think the tipping point with the Glazers, not the tipping point, but the point where it became very obvious what, was last summer. Because United clearly needed quite a lot of work last summer in order to make themselves a team that you would say this team will definitely get in the top four. And the Glazers didn't put that kind of money into the team, which is why they had to go back and buy Bruno Fernandes. And that actually, for me, marked some kind of change, because that was the Glazers saying, previously, you felt that they wanted to make sure they finished in the top four, but they weren't particularly interested with trying to speculate that extra amount to try and give a better chance of actually winning the league. But last summer, it became clear that actually they're not that bothered about the top four either. So I guess their people have done their sums, and the way that was the way that they felt they would make the most money. And then what happened was, I got a couple of injuries to the players that they couldn't afford to get injuries to. It was obvious that if Paul Pogba got injured, there would be a problem, because he was United's only really top-level midfield player. If Anthony Martial got injured, that would have a problem. If Marcus Rashford got injured, that would be a problem. And all three of them got injured, the three best players in the team. So then it started to turn toxic. So then they had a question to ask, because then they would have to think about firing the manager, hiring another manager, and that would be expensive. So they decided to go and get Bruno Fernandes, and that made a really big difference. But now what we're seeing is that Solskjaer basically completed his half of the bargain. He improved the team, he got them to three semi-finals, and he got them third in the league, so it's the Champions League. But the Glazers have not given him the kind of money that he needs to really build a team that would challenge. Because again, Chelsea, who finished just below United, have spent in excess of 200 million quid, and they're not going to get anywhere near the top two. So it's, I guess, different calculations being done by the owners, because Chelsea's owner is not calculating about exactly how much money he can take out. And you might say the Glazers are wrong. You think that they're going about it the wrong way, that actually the way they could get the most money out would be if they had the most successful team. I don't particularly think that. But I think that Liverpool's owners are more interested in sporting prestige than the Glazers are, because we see what's going on with their relative American sports franchises, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been run into the ground and the Boston Red Sox are competitive.
Tampa have just invested a load of money, though. Like, I think you're right. I think there has been a change in recent years. They've started to fire coaches much quicker in Tampa, and they've started to invest money this season in particular. But over the last couple of years, I wonder if the new blood coming in the Glazer family is going to have a long-term impact. And I don't know enough about them or the individual characters to speculate too much on that. But I guess it does come back to, ultimately, I would hold Woodward responsible for most of this, because he's the one who ends up deciding who the manager is going to be, and he's the one who ends up deciding that we're going to spend all this money on Sanchez, which effectively poisons the wage structure for everybody. And that's the original sin that Solskjaer is trying to fix. When you start thinking about it in those terms, you wonder if actually Solskjaer, with his lack of experience, is the perfect manager for Woodward, who he can, you know, keep on this tightrope, essentially, where it's like, yeah, you are not going to fight me because this is your dream job and you got it a little bit early and you don't have the reservoir of political nous in the background to be able to manipulate things. And maybe that's why people like Gary Neville are weighing in, because that ultimately is the hinterland that Solskjaer has access to that might help him to win some political power.
Look, I mean, I think Ed Woodward, like, you can see just by the absolute state of him that he would like the honour of United doing well and people congratulating him and him prancing about beaming, saying it's all because of me. I don't think that it's Ed Woodward who's saying you can't buy players. Ed Woodward's life would be much easier if he wouldn't have his house getting vandalised if he was allowing United to buy players. I don't think it's Ed Woodward who's stopping United buying players. We can talk about whether he's any good at negotiating, I mean, or whether he's any good at making business decisions, like giving contracts to all the wrong people when, like, United now can't sell. I'm sure that is on Ed Woodward. But the actual amount of money that is available for the manager to spend on players, I'm absolutely certain needs to go to Tampa to be signed off. And I'm certain that Ed Woodward would much rather the Glazers said, go and spend 250 million quid this summer, because that would enable him to make more realistic offers for players, and that would put him under less pressure to offload players, and that would make people in general less angry with how things were going at United. So I think that you can blame Ed Woodward for some of the bad business decisions. I'm not sure I'd blame him entirely for Sanchez. I think that it is partly his attitude that they should go and get Sanchez, and Man City wanted Sanchez, that he thought it would be a win. But ultimately, if Jose Mourinho had said no, we probably wouldn't have signed Sanchez. So I think that is probably on Mourinho more than it's on Woodward. And I'd like to blame Woodward for as many things as possible, but it's not him who's refusing to sign off on transfer deals. It's the Glazers.
OK, well, let's move from Sanchez to Sancho. This one looks like, from the outside, it looked like it had been dead a week ago, but it continues to bubble away. Why is it continuing to bubble away? Is there a chance this might still happen?
I mean, I was told yesterday that it is thought that it will still go ahead. United are here often where they make an offer and they get told what the price is, or they don't make an offer and they get told what the price is, and they spend time prevaricating over paying the price before eventually either paying the price or not paying the price and getting the player a bit later than they should have had the player. It seems almost cliche to relate it, because we all know that is what happens. I think the fact that United haven't bought another right wing yet suggests that they think this deal is still possible. Dortmund obviously said you need to give us X, and United are offering them Y still, Y plus one, Y plus 10, whatever. I think there is probably a good chance the deal gets made. I think the thing is 120 million quid for any player in this market, in this economy, is absolutely batshit. So in theory, you could understand them saying not doing that deal, but then spend the money on other players that are needed. Because ultimately, I mean, I know Jadon Sancho will improve United, but in a way, right wing is not what United need more than anything. United need a controlling midfield player and they need a centre-back, I would say, more than they need a right winger. But you're also, I think, saying that Jadon Sancho is too good a player not to buy. And if you don't do it this summer, then another better team, bigger team who are better at the moment might come in and do the deal next summer, which is why I think Chelsea probably felt they didn't have a choice but to spend all the money on Kai Havertz that they spent. Because if Kai Havertz didn't leave Leverkusen this summer, then next summer, when hopefully everyone will have more money because the world is a better place and Corona is kind of not gone, but being handled in a better way than it is now, Kai Havertz isn't going to Chelsea. And so I think they do probably feel that about Jadon Sancho. It's just too good an opportunity to pass up to get a player as good as he is. And I also imagine that Ed Woodward is thinking Jadon Sancho will be extremely marketable. There will be companies coming to United asking them to advertise and asking for Jadon Sancho. So it probably works for United getting Jadon Sancho if they can, and it certainly works on the pitch.
Is there a sense as well here, Daniel, from Dortmund's perspective, that they see this as a massive opportunity as well? They're going to have more 100 million euro players available, and they've got great young players at the moment. But in this current crisis, to actually have an ability to squeeze a couple of million out with every passing day this negotiation goes on, I'm sure that's alluring from their perspective.
Yeah, I think the thing with Dortmund is that United are trying to buy something that Dortmund don't particularly want to sell. They might be thinking that they have to sell the player because the player has basically set his mind on leaving. But it ultimately, the worst case scenario, if the worst case scenario for Dortmund is another season of Jadon Sancho before selling him for 120 million euros, then that is not a terrible worst case scenario. So Dortmund probably have more cards than United do. So it doesn't make that much difference to Dortmund financially if they don't sell Sancho. It's not like when United overpaid for Rio Ferdinand, when Leeds were kind of hovering on the verge of going bust, and United paid Leeds as though Leeds were in a healthy financial situation, and they paid a lot more money for Rio Ferdinand than they needed to. It's a situation where that Dortmund don't need to sell and United are desperate to buy. So we'll end up in this situation where, I mean, Dortmund told United what the price is, and I think Dortmund will enjoy this posturing. And I know that I think it's similar to Daniel Levy in a way, where he wants people to know that he is a hard-ass negotiator. It's a bit of an ego thing. And when he says this is the price, that's what the price is. And you can keep coming back with offers below what he says the price is. But if you want the player, you have to pay what the price is. And that's what happened with, say, Dimitar Berbatov, where United messed around all summer, ended up having to steal him from Manchester City, effectively, because he wanted to play for United. And then, and but ultimately they paid what they were told the price was at the beginning of the summer, and all they ended up with was a player who they had to integrate once the season had basically already started almost, who had to move cities, and they never quite integrated Berbatov properly. And that was the case with Harry Maguire as well, who ended up moving at a time when football was beginning to begin, and he had to then move cities and integrate with his new teammates and get used to everything at the same time as hauling his personal life to a different place. And so it doesn't really make a lot of sense to not have paid the money, because it felt like this was a deal where United were not about to get him for much less. And as we saw yesterday, they offered whatever they offered, 90 million euros, 100 million euros, and Dortmund still said no. So it gets to a point where having had the player sooner is worth more than the additional extra money you may save. But the reality is that you probably won't save any money.
For sure. And is your sense that there is, from your information, that there could be a Havertz comparison here at all, where if Manchester United don't get Sancho this summer, that there will be enough of a crowded market, say, from La Liga next year, where it really becomes a head-to-head with maybe a couple of clubs to actually sign Sancho next year?
I don't know. I mean, but you could easily see it happening. We don't know what's going to happen in the world. I mean, Barcelona had problems with money even before Corona, and Real Madrid spent 300 million quid last summer. So we don't know what sort of state they're in. We also don't know how much Sancho is desperate to come back to England. I've probably said this before, but I remember listening to an interview he gave when Dortmund played Spurs at Wembley last season, and it sounded a lot like someone who wanted to come and live in England again. But you don't know. I mean, Liverpool might fancy a winger next summer and have a bit more money. Manchester City might fancy signing Sancho back. You just don't know. So the opportunity to have a free run at a player as good as Sancho might not happen again, and you'd be foolish to assume it would happen again in a year. And what happens if the deal with Sancho that has kind of, United had been talking to Sancho before last season had finished, and were very clear that Sancho would not come if United did not finish in the top four and play in the Champions League. And the Champions League is a tough competition to get into in England now, because you've got Liverpool and City, they're the two best teams, they're going to get there. But then you've got Spurs, United, Arsenal, Wolves, Everton, who are fighting over those places, and it's not going to be easy to get there. So you want Sancho to help you get there again, rather than rely on getting there again without Sancho in order to sign Sancho for roughly what you would have paid for him beforehand.
What are the chances we see a picture of Jadon Sancho with a Manchester United scarf over his head or playing a Manchester United piano? Out of 10, what do you give that percentage chance that it happens in this window?
I mean, I'm kind of guessing, because everything that you say is subject to the Glazers and United behaving in a particular way. I guess I'd go about 7. I think United will sign Sancho, because the circumstantial evidence of them not doing very much with any of the other money, they're starting to get rid of a few players now, and they're probably in a position to pay the wages, suggests that, yeah, they still think that deal can be done. So I'd probably say 7, but I wouldn't. I'm like anyone else. I'm guessing, because I'm not the Glazers, and I'm not Woodward, and I'm not privy to their conversations.
Daniel, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
All right. See you again. Have a good day.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.